misty mountain. Welcome to the Pride Perspectives Radio Show. We're here every other Sunday from 5 to 6. You can find all the recordings and updates on the Santa Cruz Pride website, santacruzpride.org. My name is Rob Darrow. My pronouns are he, him, and his, and I'm here with my co-host, Cece Pinero. How's it going, Cece?
It's going good, Rob. Nice, thanks to be here. I'm Cece Pinero, and my pronouns are she, her, hers. Our show is guided by the following beliefs. We believe that Santa Cruz County is thriving partly because of the contributions of LGBTQ plus people, and LGBTQ plus people in Santa Cruz County are thriving because of the broader Santa Cruz County. We believe in the words of Jewish poet Emma Lazarus, that none of us are free until all of us are free.
On this show, you will hear us refer to queer history and LGBTQ plus history. For us, these terms are interchangeable and refer to people who identify as lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, anywhere on the gender identity spectrum, or who they are attracted to. All are welcome to be part of this radio show. So, Cece, there's been a lot of things that have happened in the last couple of weeks here. I'm going to start with the ones, like a week ago, the Santa Cruz Film Festival took place for the first time in a couple of years, and it was awesome. There were like 15 different queer shows, queer movies specific, and we gave a special award to one of the movies. Did you see any of those?
I didn't see any of those.
Yeah. It went from Wednesday to Sunday, and we're hopeful that it's back to stay. I film festival is really fascinating. Have you been at film festivals?
Yeah, because I used to work at community TV.
Oh, right.
We used to hold the film festivals there and participate. I worked with Beth Gamary, who was a longtime film festival leader. And I'm so glad to see it back, and definitely with our, UCSC has a master's in social documentaryism.
Yep.
So there should be a lot of young people and people doing their masters in documentaries that they're really happy to have the Santa Cruz Film Festival back to show their work.
Yeah, and those students were there showing their films. I remember seeing them when they were first viewed last June, I think, and then some of them who I'd met also got to show them in the film
well,
festival.
Well, and Jeffrey Dunn, who was the professor up at UCSC, he started that master's program, and he was the executive director of community TV when I worked for him. So
Dunn, really?
Yeah, Jeffrey Dunn started the master's in social documentary program at UCSC. He's done a lot of his own documentaries.
Well, no, and we're talking the same Jeffrey who's chronicled so much of Santa Cruz history, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's a local Santa Cruzian for sure.
And for those who are interested, I'll just do a quick segue to say at the surf exhibit there, that he's done a lot of history about surf history in Santa Cruz. So you can go see that at the MA. So that took place. And then the Diversity Center Gala took place at the Grove this year. And the performance and attendees were... It was a sold-out crowd, so it was exciting.
Yes, it was.
So, yeah. So that was great. And then yesterday we had the No Kings rally. I saw a picture of you.
Oh, yes. I was at the No Kings rally. It was amazing. Almost 20,000 people. I talked to people. I was at the end of the bridge at one point where the bridge ends and the park begins, and there was a woman that was coming from the beginning of the parade, and the parade was still going.
Oh,
so they could walk from the park all the way around Pacific Avenue and around, and the end still did not happen. So we definitely had over 20,000 people, and there were so many great signs. But of course, my favorite one was the one that said, "The only person Donald Trump ever hired that was qualified was Stormy Daniels."
Look, I think the people in here know who Stormy Daniels is. That's an important person in LGBTQ plus history.
It is, certainly. And I don't know if both of these young
were
people
were either of
know
you at
the
No Kings rally?
Yeah, I was. I was at the rally.
And what did you think of it? We'll introduce you in a minute, but go ahead, Ash.
I really liked it. It was great. Yeah, I went to the one like a few months ago, and that was super cool. But I saw a lot more signs that were... Also, they just keep getting so innovative with the signs, and I really liked them.
That's a great part of people in Santa Cruz, so innovative, for sure.
And so many more costumes, lots of unicorns and frogs and dinosaurs.
Max, did you go out too?
Yeah, I went with my mom, godparents, and a couple other family friends. Uh-huh.
What did you all think about it?
I had a lot of fun. I ran into actually the old GSA leader from Kirby. Really
oh,
nice
great.
To see them. And my acupuncturist. but I had a lot of fun. I marched with my godparents' dog, which was great. She was very adorable. Overall, 10 out of 10. Would do again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's great how all of us in Santa Cruz show up. So
well, and there's one more I got to tell you that I like was somebody dressed up like a dinosaur that was holding a sign that said.
I got a picture of them.
Did you get a picture of
them? I
got
a picture of them.
Oh, yeah. And so that very good. But the one I saw, and maybe you saw the sign, was something about like, if we're not careful, democracy will come extinct. Will become extinct.
Oh, like the dinosaur. Huh?
So the dinosaur is holding the sign.
And you got a picture of that with the sign?
It was a green dinosaur, right?
I think so.
I think I got a photo of them while we were walking on the bridge.
We'll have to see that a little bit later.
Very cool.
So much awesome stuff happening across Santa Cruz. And as we've talked about on the show, we celebrate a variety of people, in particular our LGBTQ+ population. I just realized, that's right. We talk about how, you know, we know Santa Cruz is thriving partially because of our queer community across Santa Cruz, and we continue. And our show today is titled LGBTQ+ History Month, The Students Speak. So you heard a couple of our student voices already. We'll let them introduce themselves in just a second. But just to give you a quick overview, our last show of October, we had our two guests, which I'll talk about in just a minute. But I want to let people know that The first out gay high school teacher, Rodney Wilson, in Missouri in 1994, came up with the idea of October as LGBTQ+ History Month. And they chose October because the original LGBTQ marches in Washington always occurred in October. One was in 1979 and then in 1987. And in addition, October 11th every year is National Coming Out Day. So that's something that our schools celebrate. We celebrate across our county. And then another note about those marches on Washington, there were people from Santa Cruz that attended both of those. And it's another testament to how people show up across Santa Cruz. Our first show in October, we focused on two people who've been part of the LGBTQ+ history in Santa Cruz County. Sandy Stone was the first and only transgender woman to be inducted into the National Women's Hall of Fame. And we also had Adam Spickler, who was the first openly transgender man to be elected to public office in Santa Cruz. He serves on the Cabrillo College Board of Trustees. It was fun having them chat about their role in history and the importance in LGBTQ+ history, as well as transgender history, which is equally important.
And just another note, Adam was dressed up as a unicorn yesterday.
Adam's increased their outfits.
That's right.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Both great people. So great to have them to kick off LGBTQ+ History Month. And then we're excited today to have two high school students who are going to kind of end our conversation about LGBTQ+ History Month. I want to thank you both for being here. I want to introduce you to Ash Amor and Max Bhattacharjee. And Ash is a senior at El Nido High School in Watsonville. And I'm going to let Cece talk to Ash about his information.
Okay. Hey, welcome, Ash. It's nice to meet you. I'm glad that you're here. I love that Venom t-shirt.
Yeah, I love the movie.
Yeah, it's awesome. I saw it too. I think, I don't know, was it on Netflix or Hulu or HBO or Disney?
Probably. Yes. I mean, it's Marvel.
Yep, it is Marvel. Go Marvel. Okay, so Ash, can you share a little about where you grew up and how school has been for you?
Well, I've grown up in Santa Cruz County my whole life. I started in like Aptos area, you know, and then I moved over to Watsonville around high school, middle school age. And with school, I started at Valencia, and then I kind of skipped around a bit. And right now I'm going to El Nido, and I'm also dual enrolled at Cabrillo College. So for me, school's not always been the greatest in general. Like, in the beginning, I was sort of labeled as the difficult kid, but no one ever really put any thought into that. It was just, oh, that's just how Ash is, you know? And it wasn't until later that it turns out that, like, I have like ADHD and like other learning stuff that's like, oh, maybe we should have put some thought into helping him. And then, yeah, now I'm getting help and I'm doing actually really great in school. I've got like all A's, stuff like that.
Great. Can you tell us a little bit about El Nido High School in Watsonville for, you know, the listeners that don't know much about your school and how you chose to go there and what it's done for you?
Yeah, El Nido is pretty great. It's an alternative school, so it's kind of not one of the norms. So basically, it's freshmen through seniors, and like sometimes there's some people like who stay back a year, like, you know, like regular high schools. But basically, it's for people who are in like credit recovery. So it's pretty much the same curriculum for the entire class. We take a Cabrillo College together every semester. Right now we're doing Intro to Latinx Studies at Cabrillo. And we also work together to just do projects for each of the science, math, history. We just do things at different times in the year, you know? So it's sort of like the whole school is one class. It's yes. Like around 25 people. And we have an amazing teacher, Michelle Delbert, and she's just great.
Great. Shout out to Michelle. Thanks so much for telling us a little bit more about that. And such the one of the important things I heard you mention was credit recovery. And thank you to, because El Nido is part of Pajaro Valley Unified School District, and they are No,
we're actually, because we're an alternative school, we are actually a school district in Santa Cruz County Office of Education. So you don't think of that as like a school district, but it actually
it is. Okay, so it's part of the County schools. Office of Ed. Good. Well, then that's even better. So shout out to the County Office of Ed and Ferris Saba, who's been on this show before, because there's been a lot of controversy. Credit recovery started during the pandemic. So
long before that.
A lot of schools didn't have it. Yeah, well, did before that, but it got funding. Sorry, now I'm coughing. So,
do you want, before we leave, Ash, do you want to talk a little bit about your current position with the Santa Cruz County Office of Education?
Yeah, I'm currently a student trustee on the Santa Cruz County Board of Education. I kind of got into it because this summer my teacher told me that, hey, there's this academy, this like the Student Trustee Academy, and I'll give you government credits if you go to it. And I was like, okay, bet. And then I actually got like super interested, and I was like, oh, this is so cool. And I learned that, one, we had a student trustee. We had ways to actually go and try and make things better for our education. And I was honestly pissed when I found that out. I was like, this was here all along, and like I didn't even know about it. And a part of being in alternative education and stuff like that is I get so many more resources that it's like these resources are available to every single person, but so many people are struggling just because they don't even know that it exists and that it's there for them. So I definitely was like, okay, I want to fix this. I am done with being mad about the system, and I'm ready to like make some changes. And I think it's especially was really motivating for me right now because of the, you know, political turmoil climate. And the way things are mm-hmm. going, like especially for like LGBTQ plus people and just people of minorities, and how it's supposed to be like regression and like all this stuff. And I'm just like, hell no, this is a time to get more involved and stuff like that instead of just making it go away.
Great. We'll have to hear more about that in a second. Want to introduce Max here. Max,
hello.
Can you share a little bit about where you grew up and how school's been for you?
I have lived in Santa Cruz all my life. I kindergarten through eighth grade, I went to the Santa Cruz Waldorf School. Mm-hmm. For those who don't know what that is, it was founded by this German guy in the 19-teens, I think. It's another alternative education. It's like, best way to describe it is like child-friendly, cult, hippie-ish.
It was an experience, both the good and bad parts. And then following that, I went to Kirby, and I'm still there. Mm-hmm. This is my senior year. I really like Kirby. It's really nice. I'm actually succeeding somewhat. I just found out I have accommodations, like, literally this week. I didn't know that before. Yay, I can get help with reading because I'm dyslexic.
Ah. At what point did you discover you were dyslexic? Listen to me not even saying the word correctly.
I honestly don't know. Sometime in high school, I'm like, huh, I really struggle with reading, and I always have, and I was never really given any help for it other than just, like, here, read a book, do your best. Mm. And I'm like, huh, here are the symptoms for all dyslexia. That kind of applies to me. So since then, I've been trying to be like, hey, hi, reading's hard. Could I get help? Mm. And now I have, like, a browser extension that, like, reads stuff for me, which is really great. That really helps with schoolwork.
Great. And so you go to Kirby School. How's the environment there for LGBTQ plus people?
Really good. Like, before I went, one of my friends shadowed there, and they're like, dude, you're gonna love it. They have rainbow stairs. And I'm like, okay, cool. Because I was, like, the only queer person I knew at Waldorf, or one of the only ones. So, like, going in, I'm like, oh, God. I hope this goes well. And then immediately, like, I want to say, like, 50% of the population at Kirby is queer in some flavor. Mm. And I'm like, wow, these are my people. Awesome. And I joined the GSA, like, my... like first month, and I have been there since, and it has been great. Awesome.
Hey, Ash, at El Nido, is there any kind of GSA or LGBTQ plus support system or anything like that?
I mean, Michelle, she's super supportive. Uh-huh. We have, like, pride flags in the classroom, but the thing is, we only have one classroom. We don't have, like, that
right,
many
I knew
people
that. I was
to
just wasn't sure.
Have...
Kind of hard to have a GSA with, what, 30
yeah.
people or
yeah.
something.
Less than that. I would say we're just generally, like, it's pretty supported. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not really talked about, I guess, just yeah. because, you know, Watsonville is a sort of more religious area. That's not necessarily why, but I guess it's kind of like a lot of people wouldn't necessarily be wanting to talk about it
yeah.
there.
Yeah, we'll go back to that too. That's our second segment. But Max, are you involved in anything at Kirby aside from taking classes?
I am in the theater program, which we're currently doing a play called The Game is Afoot. I'm cast as Felix, a.k.a. the main character's best friend, which is accurate in real life because the dude who's playing the main character is also my best friend. So that's really great. We don't have to act that much for that.
It's all natural, huh?
Exactly. We open in less than 3 weeks. I'm totally not nervous, no.
Great. So what are the dates if people wanted to attend?
It is 7th, 8th, and 9th of November, I want to say, at London Nelson.
Oh, at London Nelson.
Great. Yeah.
I just went to a show there not too long ago. I was pretty impressed how fast they convert those spaces at London Nelson.
No, right. It's insane.
Yeah.
I am concerned. How do they do that?
Yeah, it's great. Another great service that we have here in our city, for sure. Well, it's great that you both are involved in a lot of different ways, and we'll talk more about those in just a minute. We're going to take a break here, but before we do, I wanted to... we'll come back and hear more about the coming out stories of both Ash and Max.
Yes.
During the break, you're going to hear what many believe was the first LGBTQ plus anthem. It was in 1920, and it's called, I don't speak German, but do my best. It's called Das Elia Lied. This German cabaret song with the lyrics by Kurt Schwabach and music by Misha Spoliansky is considered one of the first openly queer anthems, and it emerged, if you know your history at all, the 1920s from the freedom of the Weimar Republic. Prior to the 1940s when things changed quite a bit in Germany. But people believe it's the first queer anthem. It's known for its proud and defiant lyrics about being different. So during our break, you'll hear that. You're listening to the Pride Perspectives radio show here on KSQD 90.7 FM 89.7 FM and 89.5, and KSQT 89.7 in Prunedale. We'll be right back. Talk to Ash and Max then.
K-Squid goes mobile. With your new KSQD app, you can take the Squid everywhere. Connect with your favorite host, learn about new music, text a request or comment, browse our podcasts, record a message, listen uninterrupted while browsing. Get our iOS or Android-friendly app in your app store or at ksqd.org.
Welcome back to the Pride Perspective Radio Show. I'm Cece Pinero. I'm your co-host here with Rob Darrow, and we are on 5 p.m. live every other Sunday. So we are here with our Ash and Max, and we're going to talk about our coming out stories. And so I'm hoping that you two are willing to tell a little bit about your coming out stories. Me and Rob will tell ours too, so you're not alone in this. And so can you just talk a little about your coming out story? Like, what is your coming out story? Do you have a coming out story? You know, how was it coming out to yourself and then to your family and to your friends? All right, Ash, you want to start?
Yeah, I would say for me, it was kind of, I don't know. It took a bit, even though I was, like, throughout my childhood, I always felt, like, uncomfortable, like, I didn't quite fit in, like, I didn't feel, like, quite like a girl, I guess, but I really tried to hide that from myself and, like, really force myself to be a girl by, like, sort of over-feminizing myself, and it really just was not going well, and especially, like, when I hit puberty, I was like, oh, hell no, and my, like, mental health just completely deteriorated, and things got really rough. And another thing is, I would watch, there's this one, like, British sort of documentary on trans kids, and I've watched, it's like 4 hours long, and I've watched that too many times. Like, before I came out, I was like, oh, this is super interesting. Definitely not me, though, you know? And I think that when I ended up really kind of crashing with my mental health, I went to this place, and the first thing people asked me was, they're like, oh, what are your pronouns? And I was like, what are pronouns, you know? And then they're like, oh, you don't have to be just she, her. And I was like, oh, my God, this is a major concept to me.
And how old were you?
I was 12. I was 11 at the time. Basically, it was sort of like a new thing. But like a year earlier, I tried to come out to my mom, sort of. I was like, I asked her to use different pronouns for me. I love her. She's great. But she was like, I don't know about that. And then I just kind of left it alone for another year, you know. And then this was kind of like, okay, I am going through a shit ton right now. I'm going to try this out, you know, and see if it is like it. And it was like I was started feeling better with my pronouns. And it was difficult. You know, I don't exactly remember, like, the exact moment I talked to my mom about it, but I think it was just over the phone. I was like, hey, can you use, like, my pronouns now? And it was, like, definitely a sort of learning moment. And at least with her, it was, I love her so much, but it was kind of like a, oh, well, when you were my daughter, you were happy. Because when I was, it was sort of like, this sort of whole culmination of things that made my mental health just deplete completely. And so she associated the memory of me being female with me being happy. And so that took sort of many years for her to get over. She's been supportive the whole way, but it's kind of just in the back of her head, not really believing it. Yeah, so that was...
And so how is she today? How is it for you
She's
today?
Amazing.
And how old are you now?
I'm 17 now.
So 17. So from 11 to 17, how has that progressed for your mom and your relationship with her? And I guess she has her own coming out process, right?
It was sort of like immediately was like supportive. She's like, okay, yeah, I'll try my best, you know? And she did try her best, and she went along with my name change, even though it was the, like, oh, well, it hurts so much to hear you say that your dead name is, like, a dead name. Like, I worked hard to give you that name. Mm-hmm. But she was definitely going through her own emotional process. She's a lot better now. So I've been out and transitioned, like, for many years now, and it was only recently that I was able to start testosterone, because I've been to multiple, I think, endocrinologists, and they've been like, oh yeah, this is something that Ash like needs for himself to like feel a lot better. But it's been like 2 years, and my mom still hadn't come to terms with it until at the very beginning of this year. My mental health was like, again, so horrible. And finally I got the go, like the thumbs up. And I basically felt like I could have a future for myself once I started. And it really gave me a sort of boost in motivation to like work to get better. And so I think that when people say, you know, like trans healthcare saves lives, I feel like it really has saved mine.
Absolutely. Thank you for sharing that. I've heard other people say it's like waiting to exhale, like all of a sudden, like you're holding your breath and finally you can exhale and be who you really are. And have you considered having a funeral for your dead name?
I have never heard of that.
Well, I'm an old lady, so I look at the perspective like, for your mom and her transition, for her to be more accepting of you as you are for now and for forever, for her, because I heard you say she picked that dead name and that that was something she was attached to, so she could have a funeral for that dead name. She could have some reconciliation. I've heard other people do it. It works really well. It definitely is, a generous gift on your part to allow your mom to do that or participate in that. So just something to think about. Other people have done it. And it's,
I was going to say, it's great to hear that you've had ongoing conversations with your mom and that that's been, sounds like that's been pretty positive. I mean, it's hard for parents to transition with their kids, right?
Yeah, and I would say I had a major breakthrough with her yesterday. So basically at the time when I was like going through that and when I got the permission to start testosterone, I also got the permissions to like change my name. And so we went through with the process. But my mom's just had my birth certificate with my name changed. Like, she's really scared about me like fully bringing it into my social security office and changing it out to get my license, to get my passport, because she thinks, she has like a lot of fear around me being trans, especially in the world right now, and she's scared it's going to set off some little tick or buzzer that's like, oh, this person's trans, like, come arrest me, because they do that in states.
The good part around Santa Cruz County is there's lots of people to support that process and to talk about when it's the right time and that sort of thing.
Yeah, so. Actually, I had a great conversation with Adam Spickler a couple of weeks ago where I talked to him about that, and he's like, yeah, they don't have that sort of flag that goes off, especially right now, because for like just right now, some judge put a hold off on Trump being no, you can't do this.
Yeah.
And he really emphasized that now's the time to do it before, because Trump's focusing on immigration right now.
Right.
And so now's the time to change my passport before it's too late.
You talked about a movie earlier that you watched about that was about transgender people or transgender transitioning. Do you recall the name of that? Because other people might like to know about it.
I have no idea, but basically just go on YouTube and look up probably British trans kids or something. Okay. It's like a
documentary. Well, hopefully you'll find it. You can send it to me at some point.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great. Well, and Max, how about you? Would you like to tell us your coming out story?
Which half of it, the gay part or the trans part?
Well, how about both?
All right.
When did it start?
Let's hear about
all right.
it. And how old were you?
Okay, so I started sixth grade. I remember right before I started sixth grade, I was watching like this YouTuber who like came out as a lesbian. I'm like, oh, that's so cool. Too bad I can't relate. And then like literally 2 weeks later, like there's this girl in the grade ahead of me that I was like, oh, she's so cool. Wow. Like, she's awesome. What cool hair and like vibe and really good singing voice. I'm like, oh no. And I was a little bit panicking, like, uh-oh, do I like girls? Oh no. And I scribbled it down on a piece of paper, like, I think I might be a lesbian, but as I said earlier, I'm very dyslexic, and also my handwriting is god-awful, so everything was misspelled, and it was almost illegible, so I handed it to my friend, and they're like, what the hell does this say? Like, what? Huh? Who? And then they handed it to my best friend at the time, and she read it, and she's like, oh my god, for real? And that was basically how it came out to my friends, and then, like, the next day, I was in the car with my mom, I'm like, hi, I think I like girls, and she's like, okay, cool, and thus, I was kind of established as the gay kid in my class, through middle school, and over quarantine, because quarantine started was out when we were in sixth grade, I started watching a lot of, like, queer YouTubers who, like, went over, like, Reddit memes, specifically, like, One Topic at a Time, or, like, Jamie Rain, Sam Collins, and I'm like, wow, these are so cool, I'm learning so much, trans people, awesome, too bad I can't relate, and then starting in, like, eighth grade, I'm like, huh, so, like, do I really identify with being a girl? All throughout my childhood, I had mostly guy friends, and, like, I was a tomboy, and, like, I had acted a lot like them and, like, just been in their circles a lot. And so, like, starting middle school, I'm like, wow, do I want to be a guy? Confusing. So I came out to my best friend at the time as non-binary, and he was like, are you sure non-binary? And I'm like, ah, yeah, definitely. And then, like, seven labels later, like 2 years later, I'm like, okay, I think I'm a guy. This is in high school now. And I came out to my friends. I'm like, hi, I'm a dude now. Changed my name to Max. My best friend is also trans. He's a trans guy. And I said, hi, so I think I'm going to go by Max now. And he's like, really? Max? You're choosing Max over, like, you're changing your name to Max from a very cool-sounding Indian name? Really? So he put my name as Maximilian in his phone to make fun of me, because friends. And so that became a little joke between us. Also, Manville is what my friends wanted me to name myself. I did not go with Manville. However, people still call me Manville. Thanks, guys. Eventually, I was joking about it with my friends and one of my teachers, and we were coming up with the worst spellings of it we could think of, and landed on Max O-Million, Max hyphen O apostrophe million is in the number. And we're like, yeah, that's good. Let's go with that. And so that's officially my name in the school portal. I've yet to legally change my name. Don't know when I'm going to do that. I went on testosterone, like, as my 17th birthday present, kind of. Like, 2 days after I aged, I went and got my first tea shot, which is awesome. I've been on it for just about 8 months now, and that's basically it. Woo.
And so how were your parents with your journey and your process of coming out from each different iteration when you finally were able to find who you really were?
My mom, I bold of you to assume I have two parents, please. Oh,
one parent?
One parent, my mom. With gay stuff, she was fine because she's also queer. We're both bi. But with trans stuff, it was a little bit harder. I love her a lot. But when I first started expressing, like, hey, I don't really like my chest. I don't really like having this amount of boobage. She was like, what's wrong with having breasts? Like, what's wrong with that? And I'm like, complicated.
Was she like, oh,
feminist? yeah, a little bit. and, like, it was slow. I was like, hey, I'm thinking of using they, them. And she's like, but that's a plural. Fun fact about my family, huge grammar people. Like, correcting your grammar every other sentence, it's bad.
That must be hard as adults. Dyslexic.
Oh, yes, it is. I'm the only person in my family who dislikes reading, really, or writing, or just words. Everyone else is a huge bookworm, so that's another thing. Words are hard. Dyslexic. Eventually, I was like, hi, I'm a guy, and she's like, but you were a girl. Basically, very similar to what you went through, Ash. Recently, she's been a lot better. She called me her son for the first time a couple months ago, which was very awesome. I texted my best friend, who I talked about earlier, just like, oh my god, I'm her son, yay! And he was like, that's the first time? Really? You've been out for 2 years. But it's slow but steady. It's a lot better than it was, and I'm really happy about that.
That's so awesome. I just want to thank you both for feeling comfortable sharing those stories. Those stories are important for all of us. And Cece and I have often talked about our own coming out stories at different parts in our life. We'll continue this conversation after our next break. As part of our celebration of LGBTQ plus History Month, we're also featuring some local lesbian singers. During the break, enjoy the listening of music from Christy McCarthy and Patty Maxine and others as they sing the song called Forgiveness, a song written by Christy McCarthy.
Mm-hmm. everything that you ever did. Put me to unrest, made me feel upset. Will I release it all to forgiveness? Forgiveness, take my pain, take it all.
The Pride Perspectives radio show. This is Rob Darrow, and I'm here with Cece Panera, my co-host, and Ash and Max, who are high school students, talking about their experiences in high school and living in our city. You know, back in California in 2015, there was a law passed called the Fair Education Act, and basically that law that said that teachers should be teaching LGBTQ plus History Month. The following year in 2016, there was a law passed called the Healthy Youth Act. And that law said that when people teach sex ed, that sexual health, that queer health should be part of that as part of the information, as well as sexual relationships, consent, and sexual health. So I'm curious from the two of you and your education, and I know, Ash, you said you kind of jumped around different schools, but I'm curious if either of you have had, let's talk about the history part first. So have any of your teachers in an English or history class talked about any aspect of LGBTQ plus history? And if so, do you remember it?
I would say that I personally in school have not had any of that education. All of my education has come from online at my own, like wanting to research it.
Yeah. I bet you've taken a U.S. history course, right?
Yeah. All my U.S. history is like not at all that. It's like, oh, these are the founding fathers, blah, 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 you know.
And was that an in-person class or like an independent study class?
In-person.
In-person, so.
Like, I remember.
No discussion of queer history or even Stonewall or any of that stuff that you recall, huh?
There might have been a brief mention of Stonewall, but I don't think they explained it. I think I asked, what is Stonewall? Like, those two words together.
Uh-huh.
It sounds pretty obvious. It's a stone wall. But yeah. Yeah. I would say, like, I remember asking my various history teachers, oh, when are we going to learn about this? When are we going to learn about this? And I've just always been super pissed at the public school history, because it's completely whitewashed, and it is almost really, it seems almost whimsically made up to make America look really great. And so I'd be like, oh, this isn't at all what happened on Thanksgiving. Like, when are you gonna actually teach us, like, what actually happened? Like, this was not at all it, you know. And they're like, oh, well, that's in the future years, you know. And let's just say it didn't happen.
Yeah. What about at Kirby, anything in a history class?
I took U.S. history last year. Shout out Oh, okay. Shout out to Mr. Camozzi, because he was the best history teacher I have ever had, I think. We went over, the last unit we did was the Civil Rights Movement, and we went over Stonewall. Do I remember any of it? Debatable. But I did learn a lot in theory about it.
Don't remember any of the people involved or any of that sort of stuff?
Marsha P. Johnson.
Oh, good. You got one of the names there.
I mean, I knew that before.
So it's got validated.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's true with a lot of history, is that, you know, you pick up stuff and then it gets validated, especially if a teacher's teaching it in a classroom.
Back at Waldorf, do I remember the history at Waldorf? Not great, like, memory-wise, because, like, that was forever ago.
We vaguely covered that in eighth grade for like 2 seconds.
Generally, some vague memory.
Yeah, it's a vague little sprinkling of that, but like, I've gone to private schools my entire life. Man, that makes me sound rich. I'm not.
Well, private schools in California are supposed to be teaching similar stuff, and many private schools. Yeah. Actually, what Ash said a minute ago, I think, is what's true, is that history teachers have a lot of power over the curriculum they teach, and they can integrate in what fits. So now, what about health ed classes? Do you remember any discussion about same-sex relationships or anything about gay sex or lesbian sex or any of that sort of stuff in any health ed courses?
Well, I actually, in sixth grade, we were going to have our first sort of sex ed thing, but we missed out on it because of the pandemic. Basically, all my sex ed has come from the internet or like my friends, or just because I've been in queer spaces. It's right. Like, hey, you need to know about
condoms or whatever,
you know, and so that's been mainly it, except like for high school, I have to take like a health class, and I took that online on this thing called Bright Thinker, and it was completely not up to California standards. And I looked up, like, at the end of
Pretty hetero, huh?
Completely hetero. Basically, messages, if you have sex, you get an STD, you will lose all your friends, you will fail school, you will get pregnant, your boyfriend will leave you, and you will die, you know?
Wow, you got the whole list.
And then it's like, oh, abstinence, talk to your pastor about things, talk to your youth leader. Oh, and I was like, the whole time I was like, this doesn't make any sense. I'm in California, you know? And it wasn't until later that I found out, oh, this is from Texas.
Oh, that tracks.
Last Thursday.
That should be a crime, because those poor young people in Texas, that's all that they're getting.
Yeah.
That's a disservice. You know, what about a Kirby? Anything in health ed for you that you remember? Did you have a health ed class?
We did have a health ed.
In California, you're supposed to have a health ed class in seventh or eighth grade, and then one in high school.
All right, so...
do you remember having any health classes in high school?
Okay, seventh grade, we had our human biology kind of unit, which included the reproductive
system,
organs.
Yeah. An important
part. Did we actually
go
into sex itself? No, because Waldorf. But we drew the organs, and we learned about them. We learned about the female reproductive system in person, but it was COVID, so like we were outside in like a tent and drawing the uterus in our like lesson books.
Yeah.
And right as we were drawing it, the photographer came in to take photos for the yearbook, and I was frantically like gesturing at her like, no, not now, please not now. And then of course she took a photo and cropped me out of it, and it got into the yearbook. We then learned about the male reproductive system over Zoom. Great.
Yeah, that was a tough time. That was not fun.
But we did have sex ed and normal health ed in freshman year at Kirby, with a teacher that I didn't particularly like. Honestly, he was kind of mid.
But did they talk about any sort of queer relationships?
Vaguely. All I remember about the sex ed day is that...
Oh, it was one day?
Well, we had a health ed like for like a semester, but then we had one day for sex ed, which included all of one grade in a room with the health teacher, like showing us different condoms, telling us how to use them, and then we put condoms on a banana. You know, the basic...
schools are still doing that. Okay.
Yep. Banana condoms.
I learned back in fifth grade, a lot of years ago.
Oh, God. Wow.
And
yeah.
I heard that doesn't work.
Bananas on condoms don't work?
No, when you put a condom condoms on a banana, don't work. No. You still get pregnant.
Yes.
Or you'll get somebody pregnant.
All right. Well, that's so. Sounds like we in education have some work to do as far as our teachers across our county here.
Yeah, I'm actually really glad I talked to Ferris about it at the last meeting. I was like, "Hey, this is not it," and he's like, "Oh yeah, I'll definitely make sure to like take that down, because we just introduced Bright Thinker to all of the alternative education system," and I was like, "Hey, this is not it." So thankfully, he was really on top of that, and he was like, "Yeah, we're not going to teach that."
Yeah, we can integrate into that. Yeah, good to know. So, Ash, since you've brought up the County Office of Ed, and earlier you talked about being the new student trustee on that, do you want to talk a little bit about why that's important to you and any plans you have for being there or specific
projects that you're working on?
Yes, it's really important to me because, like I earlier said, that I've never been, like earlier, the greatest student, but that wasn't because I wasn't smart. It was just because I wasn't getting, like, what I needed to thrive. Like, now I have an IEP, and I'm in a school that, like, really works with me, so I'm able to do, like, really great in my school. And so it was partially that, and then also I've just, because I never knew about this, I was like, hey, this is not getting around to people. I really want to get this position and then make it so that everyone knows about the, that they have like an advocate, that they have someone to speak for them, to advocate for them, to like be their voice on that board. And I want to make sure that I can get out the resources to everyone, because we have mental health, substance use, like we have all these different resources for people, and it's just not known. And I think I know so many people who just continue struggling because they don't know, like, hey, we have like a mental health lady. I don't remember her name, but basically you can talk to her and she can provide you with a bunch of different like specialized services for what you might need. You know, you have the ability to ask for an IEP or a 504. Like a lot of times they don't want the like teachers to like recommend it, or they won't do it if a teacher recommends it. But parents, if you're listening, demand that they do an IOP like assessment for your kid. It will get done. They can't refuse that, you know, and they could probably be getting like accommodations and the help that they need that you like you're not getting basically without it. Yeah. And so I would say one of my main plans is I am working with Ferris and Nick to put together a website that teaches people about like the sort of board county government system and like how they have a voice in a board meeting's work and what the agenda is, so that way they can come and tell me what they want me to do and how they would want me to vote on certain things, right? Right. And then it's also going to have a list of resources for all different things, you know, like the mental health and the
getting the word out to people.
Yeah, getting the word out to people. And my goal is to have sort of like it to be available for everyone in the county. So something that kind of frustrates me is I'm like, come on, let's do things. And then people really like to throw their hands up and be like, I can't do anything. Like, I can nudge people, but I can't do anything. And I think that's total BS. But yeah, I'm just not that kind of person.
Sounds like you're in the right position at the right time.
Yeah. I was able to go to the Santa Cruz Youth
Summit.
Right. Yeah. And that was where I kind of, for the first time, publicly acknowledged that I was trans, since like being able to pass. I think just being there around so many students, and I'm like seeing how it's really sort of like a scary time, and I just want those students to know that I'm here, I'm trans, I'm queer, and I'm here to like be their voice for them and work with them. And yeah, so that's
great.
Something that's really important to me.
I wish we had more time to talk about that. We've got a few more minutes, but Max, I wanted to give you a chance to talk about, we've talked about you being part of the Santa Cruz Pride Queer History podcast. Could you talk a little bit about that and how that was for you?
It was really fun for me, at least. Let's see.
What was your role in that, or what did you do?
I interviewed Mike and Mark, who did a drag thingy. Oh, well, I don't really remember much about it, if I'm being honest.
A gay evening in May?
That would be it, yes. Uh-huh. It was really fun. I was very awkward in the interview. I overall just had a lot of fun in the process. Got to meet some Kirby alums who work at the Diversity Center. And they were awesome. And it was, I just had a lot of fun. It was really cool.
And what's one thing you learned from that experience?
How to better be like interviewable, I guess, or like talk.
Mm. All those aspects that go into ending up with a decent podcast.
Right? Because I was not good at that, and I'm like, okay, I need to work on that a lot. and now we're here, and I think I've improved. I'm pretty sure I have.
Yeah.
You said that so deadpan, like, yeah. Like, as if he didn't improve. He's doing great.
That's right. We all keep getting better, right? By putting ourselves out there. Like, you both have done by being here today. So we're going to switch into kind of our closing comments here, but I want to give you two a chance to give any final words of thought based on what we've talked about today, or advice to your peers or people across. So I'll give each like a minute, and then Cece will finish up with our final quote, and that'll be the end.
I would say for any fellow students in Santa Cruz County, just know I am here. I'm your student trustee. Please reach out to me. Yes, I am here. I am queer. I want to talk to you. I want to support you. Tell me about your experiences. And to parents, I would say you have so many ways to sort of be here for your queer child. And I really implore you to use their name, use their pronouns, and advocate for them in that way. And also advocate for their education in making sure that they get the help that they need, because you can request help. You can like request certain things that you might not even have on your mind that they do have to provide, like when you ask for it, like, for example, the IEP evaluation.
Final thought, Max?
For every kid out there who feels like they're alone because they're gay or something else, trans, neurodivergent, you aren't. Once you get either to high school or to college or just anywhere, you will find people who are exactly like you and who make the same stupid jokes as you and watch the same stupid shows as you, and you'll be happy.
Awesome. Cece, you want to carry us out to the end here?
Okay. Well, we got a couple minutes. One thing I want to say to you two is Colorado State University is the number one university for differently challenged learning differences. Temple Grandin is our leader in disabilities. She's autistic. She's a professor there. Every professor at that university has to provide each student with every different way of learning depending on their learning style. If it's auditory, you need visual, Braille, whatever it is, whatever your learning style is, they have to provide that there. I know maybe you're not thinking about college, but maybe you are, but that's, we're really, really lucky to have that college here in the United States. So our last quote here before we sign off is, education is the most powerful weapon which you can use to change the world. And that was from Nelson Mandela.
Misty mountain, wildflowers bind the ground.